Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back, Mino the Mayor. And once again, great guest today, Tad Taggart from the Endure Just Finish. I think that should be our goal, to do some of that. The 24-hour marathon. It's the Crucible at Western Racket to raise money for the HUA organization. 24 hours of working out.
Rock climbing.
Axe throwing.
I was
going to
do it. And I had the checkbook out.
What
and
if then we did this? Said, you, no, that, you
but, that, but then he said, that lunges.
Yeah, I know. But he told you, get a wider base.
He did. I thought that was really good advice.
I did, too. I like that.
Me too.
But I was thinking, you, me, and Todd. How about this? You, me, and Todd.
Do okay. Relay?
Each one take a thing. Todd will run the 10K. You can do something. I'll do the axe throwing.
I'll do the 10K.
Okay. All right. Todd, you in?
I'll do the escape room. Thank you.
Oh, That's it.
You know what?
That's what I'll
that
do.
That is perfect for him.
Yeah, it would be. That would
You'd
be.
You'd be out of there.
Rock climbing, boxing, self-defense, 10K, axe throwing, and an escape room.
Yeah. The escape room. You know what? I'm taking my trainer.
In about four minutes, I'd be like, I'm out of here.
But Todd, you booked my trainer, right?
Yep.
For next week.
Next week.
He is going on, and you're not going to be here, which I know. I have to think about that.
Maybe I can call in.
Okay. Anyway, he is going on maternity leave. His wife is having a baby. And so Tad is, I'm going to take boxing lessons.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
It's a great workout. It's the greatest workout I've ever done.
My brother boxes.
Absolutely. Do it. Margaret Cahill.
All right. Anyway.
Neighborhood Focus with NBC 26 from Fond du Lac. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Great. What was it like in Fond du Lac last night with that storm?
I mean, I was indoors for most of the evening, so I was
good
safe.
Idea.
But yeah, pretty crazy storm.
You guys hit hard. Got hit hard.
A good bit. Yeah, I mean, not terrible though.
Okay.
All right, cool. So what's going on in Fond du Lac? I just want to say that the Rutlaw is one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's a nice place.
It is.
I've never stayed there, but I've had dinner there, and it's very good.
It's the sister to the Northland Hotel. Built
is it really?
Yeah, the design is the same. You go inside, right? Doesn't it look pretty much... Have you been to the Northland?
I have not, no.
Oh, okay.
I would say, Jim, the Northland kind of takes you back to that period. The Rutlaw in Fond du Lac is like a step up from there.
I stayed there last summer. Yeah, I agree with Todd.
Jim, it's amazing in there.
It's a lot more modern.
Yeah, it's crazy.
On the outside, it's got the great facade and the whole thing and everything like that, but they've really modernized it. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
Black
beautiful
tile,
rooms.
Black,
yeah. That is, yeah, the tile bathrooms.
They went with that.
Yeah.
Well, we have that.
That is a cool place. But yeah, I stayed there last summer when I did the Wounded Warrior thing.
And yeah. I did some ghost hunting there, too, several years
ago.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, cool. Oh, very cool.
So, anyway, you have a great hotel. You have a lot of nice hotels there. But what's going on? What are the things that you're covering with your neighborhood beat?
I mean, there's always a lot happening in Fond du Lac. I mean, everything from new businesses, new things happening in the city, happening in the county. I mean, I don't even know where to start. Yeah, I feel like it's always something. I mean, from good, exciting things to crime coverage.
Yeah.
I feel like Fond du Lac there's a lot happening that a lot of people might not know about.
And so it doesn't have...
It's really exciting that I get to be there.
It is. And so were you from Fond du Lac or did you... We were talking to Ryan, your executive director was in here, whatever they call him. And you live in Fond du Lac, right? And you really are trying to get engaged in Fond du Lac? Were you from Fond du Lac? Tell me about how you got to be there and how you learned all you know.
No, yeah, I'm not from Fond du Lac. I'm actually from Chicago area. I decided to live in Fond du Lac when I was, you know, applying for this job. I was talking with Ryan about, you know, what they were just about to launch the Neighborhoods Initiative, where reporters are kind of embedded in these different communities. And we're talking about which neighborhood I'd want to cover. I chose Fond du Lac, and then I decided that it would be most convenient to live there, to kind of, I mean, A, it's like I won't be commuting to work every day. I just, when there's news, I just get in my car and go. But it definitely, it's a very nice town, and I feel like living there, I kind of have a personal stake in what I'm covering. You know, this is my home too.
Right.
And it's definitely, I meet a lot of people just out and about that, I mean, that kind of helped me have a better understanding of the community and what stories are out there and that sort of thing. You know, I've gotten story ideas like going to the gym or like just doing normal stuff too. So yeah, I live down there and it definitely helps me cover it better,
right.
I think.
Do you, as part of your leaning into the Fond du Lac community, you attend the city council, county board meetings?
Not all of them, just whenever I can. I will attend just to get an idea of what's going on.
Yeah.
In the area, in the city or the county. Go
ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think it's a good way to kind of just gauge what's happening in the community.
Right. And how about Mercury? Is that kind of causing you some stress?
Well, there were just some pretty serious layoffs.
300.
There. Right. Yeah. 300. And this is coming after there was another 100 or so laid off earlier this year. So that's been tough for a lot of people in the community. Obviously, Mercury is the biggest employer in the area, and a lot of people are now out of a job, and a lot of people who do work at Mercury now are telling me that they're stressed about, will there be another round of layoffs? I haven't gotten any confirmation from Mercury leadership or spokespeople that there will be another round of layoffs, but I mean, I haven't gotten confirmation either way. But it's causing a lot of stress in the community, I suppose.
And that story wouldn't have been covered, I don't think, had you not been there. You know what I mean? I mean, Fond du Lac's great, but, you know, we're all kind of absorbed a little bit with Green Bay, the Packers. And we do cover that, but that Mercury thing, I think with you being there, you're probably going to drill down a little deeper than people who maybe are based in Green Bay. And I think that's a really important story. When you look at it a little bit more, you're going to find out where their funding came from, and it came from the taxpayers. So, I mean, this is just not right what's going on. And I'm going to follow that.
Yeah, I mean, I broke that story. One evening, I got an email from someone. I mean, the thing about, I've been here for almost 2 years now, and I think now I've hopefully gained a certain amount of trust among people in the community.
Oh, yeah.
And so people come to me pretty often with story ideas and things that are happening. So I got an email with a copy of, you know, a memo from Mercury Marine about the layoffs. I immediately contacted the Mercury Marine communications officer, who I know, I've worked with her a million times before, and contacted her right away. She got back to me pretty quickly, and we just kind of got it rolling. And then I was able to break that story, you know, a day before.
Cool.
Other
right.
people.
Well, Mark, so we like checking in with all the neighborhood reporters. We think NBC26 has a great idea on how to do that. And hope to see you at some of these showdown games this coming football season.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm by no means a football expert, but we'll see.
All right. Well, it's great talking to you, Margaret. Thank you so much for the time. Thanks for getting up early.
Great. Thank you.
You bet. Take care.
Bye.
See ya. Margaret Cahill, Neighborhood Focus with NBC26. We're going to have reporters on at different times from the different communities.
How many do they have?
Well, they got Manitowoc. I want to say, Manitowoc, Appleton, Fox Cities, but I think maybe even one in Nina on its own, Nina or Menasha of its
own. Those are pretty, I think that's all important. I think that's very cool, but I mean, that's not.
Pulaski?
They don't have a
report. Yeah,
So just down our list here, we've got the Green Bay Neighborhood Reporter coming on, the Southeast Suburbs of Green Bay coming on, Door County Neighborhood Reporter. Manitowoc Lakeshore and senior reporter Nina Sperano will be on with us as well coming up in the next couple of weeks.
You're awesome. Nina's awesome.
Those aren't, I mean, you think of that 30, 40, what's Appleton? I mean, Fond du Lac, 40, 45,000 people. Manitowoc, 36. That's nice that they're embedding people in
I think it's a fantastic idea. I think they really can't, especially like I said, for young reporters. I mean, she's from the Chicago area.
Right.
Come up here. You don't, I mean, it's, you know, you might learn Green Bay quick or Appleton quick, but these other places, you might go there once every 2 months. You don't know who to talk. I think that's a great idea, and I wouldn't be surprised if a lot more TV stations throughout the country kind of adopt this format.
And what she alluded to very briefly, though, was, you know, she's developing sources.
That's you got to do.
And, and that's tough. I lived in Fond du Lac, worked there as well. I mean, that's those smaller communities are tight-lipped, you know.
It's so tough. If they don't know you and they don't trust you,
but that just tells you she broke that story on Mercury Marine, and she a day early, and the reason is because she had some people that she was talking to, her employees or whatever. But that fact that she lived there, I think if you'd driven in there from Green Bay and said, you know, what's going on?
Absolutely. But they get to know you, get to recognize you.
Right.
One of the things they
trust
do.
Trust you a little bit.
They
give them time off. Know that you're fair, right?
Yeah, and they give them time off sometimes, specifically just to get to know the area.
Correct.
You don't have to do a story today. Just go out and ingratiate yourself with the area. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, and then the news is more factual, too.
Yeah.
Not that news would ever not be, but I just think that.
Well, I just realized this pen I'm using. Mayor Jim Schmidt, Green Bay, Wisconsin, with the Packer logo.
Put in like 200 of those.
I had to get rid of them, John. Help yourself.
Wow.
Those are nice pens.
They're very nice pens.
I just want to say that a lot of people give out cheap pens. I did not.
Those
are nice. Thank you for saying that.
Did the taxpayers pay for those?
No.
Oh, yeah.
they did. I had a fund that was donations, like,
I'll bet there were donations.
No, not donations.
Hey,
to
man,
me.
I got a problem here.
That's something. Not what I'm saying.
You know what? I'm going to go out and grab a cup of coffee.
No.
When I come back, if there's an envelope on my desk, your problem is going to go away. If there's no envelope on my desk, the problem shall continue.
That's true.
I'm going to get a cup of coffee.
No, John, what I meant before you rudely interrupted.
Todd, you're great.
Tried to embarrass me. No.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What happened was.
And I got to say one thing. That envelope? It better not just be like a letter in there. That thing better have some girth to it, if you know what I mean.
Johnny, let me tell you how I work.
Because I don't like big bills.
No, we had, for the sesquicentennial, we had a fund, and you could donate to that.
You did.
And then we had a fund for guest speakers, and we had people come in, and those were segregated funds, and they weren't tax dollars, but they were donated funds to that specific event, and we stayed within that box.
Mm. Whatever.
And I bought the pens out of there.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever you want to call it, Jim. Back after this. Hey, welcome back. Mine with the Mayor here. 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 FM WISS. And, of course, the Civic Media app, beautiful day in Green Bay after the storms. Has anybody heard of any damage or anything like that? I mean, Todd, what was the name of that town you were showing us pictures of?
Oh, that was Argyle. The church Argyle.
Church destroyed. Yeah. How old was it?
1800s.
Wow. Just destroyed. That's amazing. Anybody hurt? Do you know of?
Not sure off that one.
Because, I mean, if that hit the church, you'd think something around it would have, you know, been hurt as well.
In some chat with the radio station, I was seeing, I think, 33 tornadoes already this season.
Well, that was yesterday.
Yeah.
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 Because what's her name told us that? Brittany.
Brittany told you that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Brittany told us 33. So there had to be at least 3 or 4 more last night, it seems like, right?
They were, I mean, I'll tell you what, there were some strong winds last night.
I know I didn't hear. Did you hear any sirens here? I didn't.
No.
In Green Bay? They did in Manitowoc.
It's loud.
Sirens were going off. What'd you say?
No. What's nice about the rain, I did say this to Donna, there were no loud noises. No loud mufflers.
Oh, okay. But I will say this about that wind and everything last night.
I'm
surprised there's not more trees down and everything like that. But, you know, I shot that video on my phone. I put it on Facebook. That was at 3 this morning, standing on the balcony. But literally, when I walked out to the far end of the balcony and that wind with that rain would hit you, it's like the winds, I'm not saying, you know, because they were talking about 60-mile-an-hour winds. I don't think it got that high, but with that rain, the way that was smacking you, it's like it hurt. It was one of those kind of things where it wasn't coming down vertically. It was totally horizontal. the way that stuff was coming down last night. That was a rough night if you weren't hunkered down.
I will say this. I'm glad that happened through the night and not today. Because today, like we're talking about, this is going to be great today. And just, you know, we talked a little bit about this, but that whole meal with the mayor at Bay Beach Amusement Park and at 3:15 they have that magic show. I wonder if Gizmo's doing that. Anyway, and they have the Let Me Be Frank, of course, is performing at 4:10.
Does he take any time off?
No, right?
How many events does he do during the year?
Yeah. Didn't he tell us?
And he just loves
250
it.
250 something?
He just loves it.
It's unbelievable.
There was two Saturdays ago. Didn't he have three events like in one day?
I think he had five events, wasn't it?
Oh, that's right. He was going all over. He was driving. Like, it was like they're all in Green Bay or something.
He did one in Branch and then he ended up in...
Like far away. Was it up north? Crandon or someplace?
It wasn't. It was where the guy from Culver's lives. Where's Culver's first Culver's?
I don't know.
Well, okay, that's where it was.
Okay.
The Smoke Dancers, the Oneida Nation.
Nice.
That's cool tonight. That's going to be fun.
Awesome.
And, of course, at 3 o'clock, there's music. Stilt Walkers. Just go on the website.
Sauk City?
Yes.
Sauk City.
That's where it was, Sauk City.
Okay.
Remember? That's where he was playing. It was a private party.
Oh!
That was the last one of the day.
Right.
But I think he did start up around here or something.
And I think he went down to Branch, too. Anyway, man, and they have, I just want to say that today, I'm so glad it's not raining. They have that whole sidewalk chalk artist contest.
Nice.
That's very cool.
I mean, the sun is shining now.
It is.
It's
going to be
great. You can tell how much it dried out already just in the last hour.
Yeah. There's just so much. I'm reading through this. I'm going to just bore you with all that. But there's just so many activities all day.
Fine.
I know. Bay Beach Wildlife Sanctuary, the animal program starts at 10:30. So that's cool. Take that in. And then the nature planting, you plant all these plants and that starts at noon and 9 o'clock. There's a Green Bay sail and paddle, not saddle. It's not horses. It's, we take out the starfish, small sailboats, John.
I don't know.
That's what they're called.
Okay.
Okay. That starts at nine.
I like sometimes when he just talks and I don't know what's going on.
No, I
just kind of step back and let it go.
Me too.
But, all right, but there's free.
Because he knows what he's talking about. Maybe nobody else does, but he does. So I hate to question him.
There's the free swimming and at the pools and Resch Aquatic, those.
I don't know these starfish things.
That's what a small sailboat is called, a starfish.
Okay.
Okay.
And is this in a pool or is this in the bay or where?
This is the bay. This is right behind McDonald's. Didn't we have those people on here? Sail and paddle? Maybe we didn't.
No, we didn't get them
on
yet. You were going to.
Okay,
but,
I'm doing that. That's at Wednesday.
Because, I want to be a sailor.
You need to learn to swim. Okay, Riviera Lanes, the bowling.
Yeah.
Remember we talked about that? That's cool.
Hey, I got to say something.
Free ice cream at...
are there any
Scray?
Bowling alleys that have closed down? Like, that are still there, but they're closed? What about, Century Lanes in De Pere? Are the lanes still in there?
Okay, why?
Because what's our major project that we are going to be involved in? What's our number one? We're feeding the starving children, but once they're fed.
You can make bird feeders out of that lane?
No. They make great workbenches, though. But you know what's our number one big endeavor that we're going to raise $75,000 for?
Oh, the village.
Community center. At the Veterans. Cottage.
They came to the new community shelter last night.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
It
was great. They gave a little presentation on what they're doing.
Awesome.
They talked about the community center. They talked about the garage, obviously, that they're going to be building. But anyway, go ahead. What are you saying?
How cool, in the basement of the community center, how cool would it be to have a lane of bowling?
Sure.
Yeah. It'd be a hell of a lot cheaper to build it than to take it out of some other place.
No, it wouldn't.
Sure, it would. It wouldn't be, be flat. It wouldn't be. No, John, do you realize how engineers would have to be? I mean, do you really think you could move a bowling lane? It would still be this. I think
they come in sections.
You just take
this section and that section and that section. Wouldn't that be great to have a bowling alley at the community?
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a great idea.
Okay. Now you know what you're doing. There's a term for that. I can't think of what it is.
Ghosting.
Condescending. that's a lot of things.
Yeah. Okay. The Tarleton Theater. Right? They have four kids at a time to speed paint. That's going to be very cool. Within 20-minute spans, they're going to be doing that every 20 minutes. You can do that. And, of course, there's so much stuff going on here, right? You got
Why are you putting your hand in my face?
The Stevens Defense Academy. I'm not sure. There's free classes there. I'm not sure what that is. But, you know, it's great cheese. One free scoop of ice cream. That's going to be fun. And Pizza Ranch, free kids buffet.
Oh, I just got this. Todd got a text. Just added former Mayor Spelling Bee from at 9:15 at the library. So is it you and Jaden going head-to-head?
Spelling bird.
Yeah. I got, oh, that's funny. Who did? Oh.
It's bird. It's the common spelling of bird. B-Y-R-D.
That's funny.
I got a friend with that last name. I do.
That's funny. What, whoever like Larry sent Bird, that in.
Right? Yeah.
B-Y-R-D.
There you go. So why I don't, hey, okay.
But anyway, go to the website and take your kids out today. And there's people who would take their, which really made me feel good. There are parents who would come up to me and say, look, I took the day off today just to be with my kids.
Awesome.
I think that is,
I agree.
That is like awesome.
Could not
that.
Agree
like,
more.
Good parents.
Got to throw this out there, though. Anybody that knows about bowling, can a bowling lane, like if you got a bowling alley, like maybe, you know, the one downtown in De Pere that nobody uses anymore, is it possible to take one of those lanes? Now, we might have to get a pin spotter, a pin setter.
Well,
you know what I mean?
That you're not going to do that.
I don't know if they have all the mechanics individually.
That's what I'm saying. I think that's not the question, because anything's possible. It's just how much you want to pay for it. I think the question is it
feasible?
Which is less expensive, to transfer a lane from one to another or to build it new? I think
transferring it.
And I don't.
All right. Because, I mean, that's a lot of real, that's ash, I think, ashwood?
That's maple. Is it ash?
Is it maple? What are the pins made of? Didn't your family make pins?
Maple.
Those are maple?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And they were great before they put the coating on there. Just throw them on the fire. They were great fire logs.
Okay. You know, they say it's really hard to find good ash these days.
Yeah.
We're going to set a quick break. Back after this.
Want to share it with a friend? Check out the Mino and the Mayor podcast at civicmedia.us and on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Take Mino and the Mayor with you everywhere. Now, once again, Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here. We talk with Mike Stanley, Oshkosh Fire Chief. First, we want to talk about a great thing that you have in your house, that of course being Pella windows and doors, because you have a house that's 106 years old?
No, 115.
So what is that? I'm trying to do my math. 109?
1915 it was built.
Yes.
So
109, right?
100. Okay. Whatever. It's an old house.
But anyway, you're in such a historical area that
we are.
If you want to add stuff, they don't want you, you know, going to a big box store or just grabbing something off the shelf.
We kind of designated that area as a historical area. And then we, I don't know, they didn't have the... Historic Preservation Committee. I mean, the Historic Preservation Committee. But they get a little anxious when you're doing stuff that, not in your house or in the back of your house, but when you're walking down the street.
Curb appeal stuff. Yeah.
And they're very, very...
specific almost to that time area.
Yeah. And that makes sense to me. I think what you have to do is people, they don't want vinyl siding. They don't want... And I get that. I mean, I want our neighborhood to stay historic. And so we spent... You've been over at my house.
Once.
A lot of money on, well, still, you saw the windows. And we went with Pella on that. And they really helped us through the committee. Looked at some designs, but, you know, no, we don't have aluminum. Those things that you change the screens or whatever those. Anyway,
but they're really big with that. They're really attuned to that. They know the different time periods.
And we're,
and they can really help.
I was going to say, you know, so we're 1915, but, you know, people 1930s, 1950s, 80s, you know. But they come in and they design it. They show you on the computer. It could look like this. It's like, wow, how much is that? Can I see something else? No, they have good financing for that stuff.
They're great.
They are. They're great. And when it comes to the windows, and we have the historic walk in Astor Park on the 20th. Let's see, 9:20.
So do we all get to come in your house?
There'll be a sign in front of my house that talks about it, because other people put signs in front of their house and they do the pictures and it's great. But there's four houses that you can walk through. And I tell you guys, just for the record, I was going to, but I'm at a wedding in Door County that weekend.
Oh, sure.
I really am.
Oh, my goodness. Sure.
Leave me the keys.
No, I...
I'm your tour guide, but John Mino.
They have... Maybe it's six houses.
All right.
But anyway, it's the windows in all those houses. People spend money on it. And Pella's great. Pella's, I just want
to
say
Pella, they're great to work with.
They are. We love them. They do a good job.
Let's go to Mike Stanley, who's standing by in Oshkosh, the fire chief of Oshkosh. Hello, Mike.
Morning, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Thanks for waiting.
How are you, Chief? Yes, we had to talk a little bit about windows. Sorry, I got off on a tangent.
Hey, we were in your town a week and a half ago, and we loved it.
Outstanding. Thanks for coming and visiting us.
Yeah, listen to this guy. This is Mr. Promotion. I mean, that's great, Chief, to hear your voice and the energy you have there. Oshkosh really seems like it's got it all going on. I mean, we saw some new development. We saw some historic preservation. The neighborhoods look good, and people complying with your rules and regulations.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, I really do think we should be proud of Oshkosh because it is a great blend of old and new.
Right.
That it's got all the things you could want for.
Yeah. So how long have you been chief down there?
You know, I just passed 6 years.
Oh, okay.
It's this month, so.
We may have run into each other. You have some conferences up here in Green Bay, and I always thank the firefighters for what they do. Hey, you got a new program going with this fall prevention. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, we were able to partner with an organization called Nimble to try to reduce falls in our community. That, you know, year after year, the most common type of call we go on is somebody that's fallen down.
You know, Chief, I don't mean to interrupt. Somebody else told us that.
Lisa was telling us about it. She did a story on it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. That's what I was saying. That was the number one call for fire departments, right? Correct?
She covers the whole state, and she talked about this Nimble, this program that you're talking about. And I don't think people think about that. I think people think about car accidents, fires, kitchen fires, but falls. And you are the first guys, you guys respond to that.
Correct. Yeah, that it's about, for us here in Oshkosh, it's about 20% of our calls. So far and away more than fires, car wrecks, heart attacks, you know, things like that.
And it doesn't have to be, we don't have to talk about elderly, you know, 85-year-old type people. I've got a good friend who is in his 40s who suffered a really, really bad fall. And those things happen so much, and so many basement step accidents. Isn't that the truth, Chief?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, basement step accidents, you know, falls in the bathroom, you know, whether it be in a shower or a tub or just getting on and off a toilet, you know, and many times, you know, people trip and fall. That's the most common cause, is that they've tripped over something, you know, an extension cord, a pet, you know, a throw rug, you know, so very, very preventable. And you are correct. You know, it isn't somebody that's 100 years old. You know, it's people in their 40s, 50s, 60s, you know, on up.
Yep.
So Chief, what are some of the things that the fall prevention that we can do to prevent falls besides... Go ahead.
You know, one of the things, you know, for sure is, like I said, take up those throw rugs. You know, that those are incredibly dangerous for people. You know, clean up the clutter you might have in the house. Increase visibility. Night lights, you know, are a huge asset, you know, when you're getting out of bed in the dark, or, you know, going down a dark hallway. You know, those are all just simple little things. You know, and being active, increasing your activity and your motion so that you improve your core strength, your balance, you know, your ability to take a step. You know, those are all just simple little things that can prevent that debilitating fall.
You know, that sounds simple. The things you suggested are not very expensive. I mean, those nightlights you can plug in.
Oh yeah.
Right. I mean, those are nothing. And I agree with the throw rugs. I mean, I don't know how they bunch up like that, but I have tripped over them. I've never fallen, but I think my dog does it, quite honestly. So but I'm never getting rid of him.
I don't like? I think you might have this. Do you have hardwood stairs or do you have runners?
No, I'm hardwood.
Those make me nervous. What do you think about that, Chief?
You know, that's another key thing is, you know, wearing appropriate things on your feet for the floor. You know, when you're walking on hardwood floors, hardwood floor runners, linoleum tile, you know, in socks or smooth bottom slippers, you know, that's just asking for trouble. So having something that has some texture onto it, you know, or even a grippy sock may prevent you from falling because you've slipped on the flooring.
Chief, I got grippy socks after I just want to tell you, no, Chief, this
his
is a true story.
Has them.
No, he doesn't. But we have hardwood, and I was wearing white socks carrying a thing of laundry.
That's where so many accidents happen that way. I know
just want to say, Chief, I fell and I broke my toe. So I was in one of those like boots, and I had to give some talks, and I made the remark that I was carrying laundry down the stairs, and some guy came up and goes, Mayor, you need to come up with a better excuse.
That's how I messed up my knee falling down the stairs with laundry, right, too. Yeah. And they said the same thing. Tell them you were out skiing or something, right? Don't tell them you're taking laundry. That's very good.
But those socks that the chief just mentioned, those are awesome. They got those little like grippies on the bottom. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Hey, tell me about the bathrooms, what people can do. And you mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, that's, it may be something so extensive as a tub modification, where you have a walk-in tub, but, even simpler, cheaper things, go down to the hardware store, get that textured tape for your bathtub, to put it on the bathtub so that you don't slip when you're getting in and out of the tub or the shower. You may need just something as simple as grab bars.
Right.
To grab onto as you're getting in and out of the shower, on and off the toilet. Another accommodation that we see done a lot and that our partners do is toilet risers, so that you're a little higher, so that you get the momentum you need to stand back up.
So how do people learn about, and these are great tips. How do people, do you have a website or do you have a seminar coming up, or how do people learn about all these great things?
We do have a website. So if you go to www.oshkoshfd.com, like Oshkosh Fire Department, or even if you just Google search the Oshkosh Fire Department, we'll pop right up. And right at the top of the page, you'll see a bullet for falls. And on that, we have a ton of resources, a ton of data and information about, the number of falls we've had, the causes of falls. But like I said, most importantly, we have links to different resources where you can get some of those things that we talked about earlier.
And we talked about this not necessarily being an age thing, but let's say it is. Let's say you're visiting your grandma. What sort of things, and she lives by herself and she's, 87. And what are some of the things a person should look for and say, grandma, we should probably, those kind of things.
Or we'll do this for you, grandma.
Yeah.
This is like your early Christmas present.
Yeah.
The handrails, are huge. So installing grab bars, in the bathroom, if you have a couple steps up into the house, on the porch, things like that, putting those grippy stripes in the bathtub, getting rid of the throw rugs or, extension cords, putting up those lights, night lights in hallways and, bathrooms and in bedrooms, things like that, and then encouraging them to take part in some of these fall prevention activities. The beauty of the Nimble app is it was designed for older adults, so it's very user-friendly for them. And it's something that they can do from their home, because so often what we find is transportation is an issue. I don't have the means anymore to drive to a class at the YMCA or the senior center or, something like that. So that's what we love so much about this Nimble app is that they can do it from their home.
And what are some of the things they'll do using that app?
It's really a neat combination of it. They'll do an initial assessment, and enter some information, and that's how we chart their progress and how Nimble charts the progress. But then it's a blend of some cognitive exercises. We want to stimulate their brain while we do some of those physical things. So it's fun, that you can do trivia games or, the old memory matching game or different things like that. So they pick what they want to do, tic-tac-toe, things like that. And then as you're completing the exercises, which may be, they start off, as simple as just standing up and pivoting from one foot to the other, rocking from one foot while you answer those questions. So it takes them through a progressive development. Yeah, it's really, really a cool application.
Chief, that's awesome stuff. I got to switch gears with you. A couple little things. We used to have some people on that used to go into houses after fires and clean up and everything like that. And one of the main things were lithium batteries that were causing problems. Do you guys see that?
We are starting to see that, across the country more and more that, there really is a lot of, unpredicted dangers around lithium batteries, particularly when they're on scooters and bicycles and things like that, where the people are bringing into apartments or into homes to store them. And then when they have that thermal runaway, that catches the whole apartment complex on fire. So it's really an emerging danger issue that the American Fire Service is spending a lot of time trying to address.
What's the solution on that?
You know, if I knew, I'd be able to buy the building here and then some. That's the problem, is there's really not a great extinguishment method. You know, some of it'll be around regulations on bringing those batteries inside. But even as we start to see the electric vehicles, you know, that you have an electric vehicle that catches on fire, you end up putting it in a big roll-off dumpster filled with water, and you put it in a big tank, you know, and submerge it for a week.
Yeah.
You know, so there's just not great solutions yet.
Chief, I want to shift gears to tell me about the employment. Oshkosh Fire Department, are you finding good recruits or the training? Tell me about the labor force, because that's always an issue when we bring guests in.
You know, we really are struggling with the same issues that every industry is, you know, with the great retirement, you know, that's going on, is as the population ages and retires out, and you know, the battle for talent, you know, we're suffering from that as well. So, you know, the supply and demand issue is really a challenge for fire departments, you know, throughout the state, throughout the country.
But that's not a bad career.
Oh, it's a fantastic career.
Right.
You know, that I've loved every minute of it. And, you know, you talk about an industry that's recession proof, you know, you're going to get a good retirement. You're going to be very engaged in your community, you know, something different every day, you know,
and you get to work, and you get to work for a guy like you. I mean, it doesn't get much better, right?
That's what I say.
Chief, thanks for what you're doing there. I just want to I wore red in your honor today. You notice the shirt here?
I appreciate that.
All right. That's we knew you were coming on. Say, thanks for what you're doing down in Oshkosh. And like Johnny said, you know, we just think your city is really a great community on so many levels, you know, not just the housing, but the businesses, the infrastructure. And you just got a lot of energy down there. And I think people need to take advantage of this fall prevention, because you want to stick around a long time and not have to get an artificial hip or something. So listen to you, and things will work out great.
Precisely.
All right.
Outstanding. Chief, thank you so much. Chief Mike Stanley, Oshkosh Fire Department. Fall prevention program. Very, very, I don't want to say simple stuff, but things that you might not even think of. Take care of those. Could prevent catastrophic
things. OshkoshFD.com.
Nice. Mike Stanley, thank you so very much.
Thank you both. Have a great day.
You too. Back after this. Hey, welcome back. Thank you very much, Mike Stanley, Oshkosh Fire Chief. You know one thing I forgot to ask him? I was watching this like infomercial last night, okay? And it was about...
Go ahead. What? Did you get your credit card in time?
I'm going to.
Okay.
Okay. Right. You know what it was about? It's about kitchen fires. And it showed like this microwave that was... Have you seen
Saw
this?
Saw that. Thing? Yep.
Number one, places for fire starters in the kitchen.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And grease fires and things like that. And it said like 85% of the people wouldn't know how to just grab a fire extinguisher and use it. So as they're reading the instructions on how to use the fire extinguisher...
It's getting away.
Your kitchen's burning up. Okay. You throw water on it, that only makes it worse. Mm-hmm. All these different things. And they make like a towel, hey, Todd, or a blanket.
Like a thick blanket or something, right?
And it smothers it so quick you can't believe it.
What if the fire's bigger than the blanket?
What if it's not?
I think people should have a fire extinguisher.
Oh, sure. That's great. Sure. That's fine. But what I'm saying is, you know, if a kid's there, it's like, I don't know how to use this. Mom, where's mom? Mom! What?
Yeah, okay. That's great.
Come here! I'm in the shower. The kitchen's burning. What? The kitchen is burning.
And the kid
put it out.
Yeah. And
where's the fire extinguisher? What? Where's the fire? I don't know. Ask your dad. Okay, I got to call him.
Okay, we've all been through that. All right. So this towel is, you just train the kid to say, look.
Just throw it right on there.
That's it.
Smothers it like you can't believe.
That's cool.
Yeah. Todd saw the same thing. Now, you know. You don't believe me a lot, but Todd, yes.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah.
I'm surprised the chief didn't.
Well, I was going to ask you about it. We ran out of time.
Is it endorsed by the fire department?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good. Then I think that, look, as long as you have something, because I don't know what the percent is. I used to know, but a high percent of house fires start in the kitchen.
Oh, no. I mean, why not?
People walk away. Right. They don't. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Come back and it's burning.
Yeah.
That's great. So it's. The fire blanket or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember when I was a kid, we had one in our kitchen. on the stove. And it's a true story. And the thing started burning like you can't believe. And it started even melting the, you know, it's an electric stove. And so I ran over whenever we had a disaster, I'd run over to my aunt's house. It was right next door to us, Mimi, because she was one of those people I just take care of, you know.
Yeah.
What's the problem? All right. You would take one of those people.
Yeah.
So I went over there. Well, put it out. I don't know how. It's really... So I go over there, and my mom, who was, you know, kind of disabled from a stroke and everything, it was, the fire was out, but things, I said, oh, my, I brought Mimi. She said, I got it out. I said, how did you do this? Well, I turned it off. Like, oh, yeah, I didn't think of that.
Wow, that may have worked, too.
Yeah,
I do think people panic, like you say, and they grab, water.
Yeah.
And those grease fires.
And don't they say, like, is it baking soda that can put out a grease fire or salt? Isn't there something in a kitchen? We always turn to Todd like Todd knows.
I think both of those can help.
Both of those can help. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to give that advice. Just
yeah,
case,
I don't want to.
That's true, though.
Okay.
That is true.
It is baking soda, right?
Baking soda and salt.
And salt?
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And those things are pretty accessible.
Yes.
So.
Okay. But I would think not sugar. Sugar would probably be flammable. Sugar is flammable.
It would.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it would melt, right?
It would melt.
I think so, yeah.
It would melt.
But you got to, we got to get him on again, or anybody out there, do you have any firefighters out there listening that could tell us about those blankets?
And
do you know about them? Do they really work?
This is an infomercial.
Well, yeah, it was something like that. Hey, Todd.
We just got a text. Somebody said it. They're available on Amazon.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I think everyone should have some type of fire prevention in their kitchen.
And another place, if you got a wood burning fireplace, and you guess, you know, sometimes if you have that wood that's not completely dry and it's kind of sappy, and you get those big sparks flying out, and if you don't have a big enough area with tile or whatever, you get one of those in a rug, it's amazing what can happen.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Or you could put glass doors on.
Well, what? You shouldn't have glass doors on, I don't think, when you got a good fire going in there. What?
I do.
Do you?
Why not?
Why would you not leave it open so you get the full feeling of the fire?
I have a little blower comes on underneath.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, the fire looks great behind those doors. I don't want any sparks coming out on the floor.
Why would you have a wood-burning fireplace and not be there to feel the warmth of the actual flames?
I can feel the warmth because it's coming out from underneath.
Oh, my God.
No, and it's safe. We have glass doors on.
Why don't you just get one of those little office heat, those little electric things to the.
I like the real flames. No. They're different. Yes.
I don't think you're supposed to have them closed like that. Look at this. Todd just put up a thing. It's called Prepared Hero Fire Blanket.
Oh, that's a cool name.
Yes.
Prepared Hero. Yes.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah.
That's for the kitchen. No, I don't know about that fireplace. I think sparks can come out of the fireplace.
Absolutely.
And
especially with sappy wood.
And if you had a rug, that could.
Well, yeah, but no, most people have a little bit of a tile type thing.
Yeah, how long is that?
A couple of feet?
16. No, it's not that big. 18 inches.
Is there code?
There's probably code now.
There's probably a code.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree that sparks would come out and they'd land on the.
Yeah, on the rug.
What you're talking about, that code
on the tile,
is like the tiles.
Yeah.
It's the concrete.
Or you could even take one of those blankets and just lay it out in front of the thing. Wouldn't have anything to worry about then.
That would look ugly, though.
Oh, my God. You're okay with closing the glass doors on a nice, beautiful, real hardwood fire. You're okay with that.
It looks great.
Okay.
They're glass, John. They're not. It's not plywood. It's not. You can see. It's. You don't even know the doors are there.
It's like, okay, you know what? It is such a beautiful day. Look at that beautiful sunshine and the nice breeze. Let's sit here and look out the window. Same thing.
I don't know. It's all right. Anyway, and
Todd, which way are you going on this?
Todd. I mean, really, safety. And you cannot tell. Why would they have those glass doors, Johnny?
When the fire is down, you want to close it so that all the smoke and everything like that goes up the chimney.
Well, and you don't want the cold coming in either.
Right.
I mean, so, but
yes,
you have more fires in the winter.
I don't think wood burning fireplaces are meant to be used with the doors closed.
I think so. Here's my opinion. I think some are. If you've got the fan, I think that's why you use the fan and all that kind of stuff. But there's also those wire screens, right?
They have those little wire mesh things,
right?
Well, that's both. We have both,
and then that helps prevent the sparks.
Well, no, those mesh things, even if it's 1/16 of an inch, no, those sparks can get through that pretty easy.
All right.
The mesh things are cool, though. I mean, I think those are, you can do that. I don't know. I thought everybody had that, but what do I know?
Yeah, well, no, we're not all former mayors.
Believe me, you don't need to know much to be a mayor. Anyway, speaking of mayor, Kids Day, and Mayor Gingrich is going to have fun today. The kids, there's a mayor for the day.
Mayor who?
Kid, I don't know.
Which mayor?
Eric.
Eric who?
He's my man. And they anointed some, that's not the right word. Anointed.
Appointed.
Appointed. A mayor for the day, one of the kids who are celebrating Kids Day with the other 9,999 kids. So
I think it's awesome.
It's going to be a great day. And enjoy the weather, all the activities. Go to the website, greenbay.com, and see all the activities going on for your kids today.
Great guest, Ted Taggart. Oh, yeah. Endure just finished. More on that. Tess Kirkson, Director of Public Relations, Wisconsin State Fair. Tremendous.
She's great.
Stephanie Hummel, Green Bay Economic Development.
Love
Margaret Cahill, NBC 26 Focus. Mike Stanley, Oshkosh Fire Chief. We're out of time. Thanks for being here, everybody. See ya.